Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Manson, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I've been nitpicking Brock Purdy all day. That throw to George Kittle for the touchdown was one of the best throws he's ever made.
It's beautiful.
That was unreal. It's why he's so frustrating, man. He'll stand in the pocket. He'll step up into a clean pocket and airmail Juwan Jennings in the middle of the field. And then with nothing happening in the red zone, he'll scramble out to his left, set his feet, and under pressure, throw an absolute dime into the back corner of the end zone.
Hey, man.
Sure, man. Whatever.
It's like, cool, whatever works, right? but then it's like, yeah, whatever works until it's like, oh, well, it's not actually working anymore, so we got to figure things out again.
Yeah.
Has your opinion of Brock Purdy changed the last few weeks?
Maybe a little bit. But I'm not... Only insofar as I thought there would be an ascension coming.
Okay.
I think the fact that he's been able to have success differently is a plus, but the last couple of weeks it seems like he is missing throws that he wasn't missing. Yeah. And I don't know if that's the way defenses are playing him, where he's more indecisive in the pocket because he's not just stepping up and ripping throws into the middle of the field because defenses are defending that area differently. But he just looks a little more indecisive and a little bit more unsure, and then he's missing throws he never used to miss. But I'm not at a point where I'm like, oh, he's not as good as I thought he was. He just hasn't ascended at the rate that I thought he might this year.
It does feel like that, whether it's dropping more linebackers in the middle of the field or disguising coverages differently this year, the Buccaneers did a great job today with Avante David and company taking away the middle of the field for him. But it does feel like they're forcing him to throw more towards the sideline, which he hadn't really struggled with last year, and at times hasn't struggled with this year. But the game against the Cowboys started off kind of rough in that first half and took him a while to get going until they kind of scored some points in the second half. And this game, that first half, again, this mission throws high. Like, there are balls that are normally interceptions in the NFL that he got away with today.
Yeah.
And I know he didn't turn the ball over once, although he fumbled today. Again, he managed the game well, but it was just like, you are kind of riding that thin line of mistake or really great catch. And that's not where Brock really has been throughout his career.
Sure. I think the other thing with Brock that stands out, and Nathan and Beaumont, I see, we'll get to you here in a second, but 888-957-9570 if you'd like to join the program. This is Overtime. He's Sterling Bennett. I'm Kyle Madsen. The problem, I think, that if I'm calling it a problem, is that there were opportunities for Purdy to be the guy that was the rising tide that lifted all boats, right? Like, to be the guy who, man, you know what? Nothing's happening in the red zone. They're having a hard time scoring touchdowns. He's going to individually make a great play for them. Like he did today with George Kittle. Like, that touchdown that we heard on the way back in, shout out to Kevin Burkhart and Fox Sports for the sound. That play right there was like, man, that was a quarterback making a great play. And I don't feel like we've seen that enough, particularly in the red zone. So that's, I think, kind of where my nitpick overall of him comes in is between the 20s, he's been awesome, but man, down in the red zone, just feels like the creativity goes away, and I was hoping that he would be the guy to kind of lift them out of that rut, and he hasn't. Maybe I'm being dramatic, but that's kind of how I'm viewing this season for him.
It almost feels like the Niners, yes, are kind of being plagued by the expectations that we and they have set for themselves. Same way for Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy has a great year last year, fifth in the MVP voting, and the expectation is, oh, he'll get better this year.
Yeah.
And you get Pearsall involved, more weapons involved, and think, okay, you know, he'll have the full arsenal on his shoulders ready to go and go out there this season. But while he's played great at times, to a point of analytically better at times than last year. But there still seems to be like there was a drive today where the Niners were down 13-17 and literally Brock Purdy made every single play for San Francisco.
Yes.
First down to Juwan Jennings, the little moon ball kind of flipped the CMC for 30 yards downfield.
That was insane. That was ridiculous.
Then he scrambles and gets hit late and gets some 15-plus yards. Then he gets to the red zone and he finds George Kittle for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, that is a quarterback making plays at an elite level.
Yeah.
But it happens once a drive, or happens for one drive in a game where you need three or four of them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're nitpicking here and being a little too harsh on him, because again, the box score will say he had a great game, and he had a couple touchdowns today. He looked good, box score-wise and whatnot, but this just seems to be like, there's another level I believe he can take, and he hasn't taken it this year just yet.
I would agree with you. There's all these plays that you just mentioned, but it feels like on a day in, game out basis, and that includes today, that there are 4 to 6 plays that he leaves on the field.
Yeah.
Just if it's because he missed a throw or he made the wrong read or hesitated to throw or whatever it is. It just seems like there's several plays a game that you watch and you're like, man, he probably wants that one back. And that's kind of, I guess, the growth of a quarterback. He's in his third year. He's doing some things better than he did last year. He's doing some things worse. And we'll kind of see how this progresses. But nothing has happened this year, just to kind of put a bow on this, that makes me think, oh, Brock Purdy cannot be the guy moving forward.
Right, right.
So we'll just kind of continue to see how that evolves throughout the year. Let's get to our guy Nathan in Beaumont. Sorry about that. Let's get to our guy Nathan in Beaumont. He wants to chat about today's game. Nathan! Oh, wait, nope. Hang on. Stand by, Nathan. We'll get to you in a second. No, Nathan, I believe, based on what it says here on our little call screen, I think Nathan's gonna bring a little bit of heat for us. So, Nathan, here in Beaumont, let it rip, man. You're on overtime.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
Listen, I just think that the 49ers are no longer a great team at anything. They're just good. They're just decent at best. So these mistakes that we're seeing from the team is always with special teams or penalties or just some plays that are just missed.
Mm-hmm.
These things are so glaring now because they're not taking the game over like they have in the past. Their bread and butter, particularly on the offense, has been, we're going to keep grinding you and we're going to make you surrender and then we're going to dominate you. And so I personally see that I pay attention more and more to the offensive line play. And to me, I have not seen this line in forever really take a game over and just bully somebody into submission. Tampa hung in there. Even during the wins, these teams are hanging in there. And so if they're not doing that up front, then the red zone issues are not going to continue no matter who's playing. Now, Purdy, as you guys have said, he missed some throws. He can get sharper. Mm-hmm. But if this team can't return to – and they made a key that their philosophy is we want to be strong and better on both lines of scrimmage, and own the game that way. But they're not great on either side, so this team is struggling to execute when they really need to at a high level and finish opponents off.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Nathan. And to Nathan's point here, this is where I agree 100% with him, because look, here's how the Niners' drives went. I'm eliminating their possession right before the half where they just kneeled down. Okay, that possession we're getting rid of. Here's what their possessions did today. Punt, touchdown, field goal, missed field goal, field goal, missed field goal, touchdown, missed field goal, field goal. Let's take away the Jake Moody factor here for a second. And let's pretend they turned one of those missed field goal drives into a touchdown. And then let's say they took the other one and got it to where it wasn't a 49 or 50 yard field goal and was a little chip shot. That's 10 extra points. And now it's 30 or 33 points instead of 23, where they're kicking a game winner at the buzzer. So that's where I tend to kind of agree with what Nathan was saying, is like they're doing a lot of the right things except for finishing drives, finishing teams off. It was the problem, and we can talk about the defense, we can talk about the special teams, and yes, those have been problems at various points throughout the year. But if the 49ers score an extra touchdown against the Rams, that game goes differently in week three. Same deal in week five against Arizona. Same deal, the Vikings game. The play before the long touchdown to Justin Jefferson, yep, the 99-yarder, was a fourth and goal at the two that the Niners couldn't get. Like, this is where we're used to watching this offense kind of grind teams down into dust, and their inability to convert drives into touchdowns, convert field goals, is once again keeping them in these close games where all these problems, like the caller said, but get exacerbated. I totally agree. I have no arguments against what Nathan had to say.
And I think, to kind of narrow down what Nathan is saying,
yeah,
what he means by taking over a game offensively on the offensive line, I think what he's getting at is the red zone woe. It's kind of like you're hinting at, too. It's like the Niners, yes, can get you into the red zone, but they're known for finishing off these drives and running the football effectively, aggressively in the red zone. You go to their longest drive of the game, I believe. It was a 14-play, 77-yard, 8-minute and 14-second drive,
yep,
where they get into the red zone, get bailed out a ton during the drive itself, and when they get in the red zone, it's a 1-yard run by Chris McCaffrey, a 2-9 incompletion to Ricky Pearsall, and a 3rd-9 incomplete pass to George Kittle. That right there alone is what kind of sums up the Niners' season thus far. It's getting stuffed on first down in the red zone, then Shanahan saying, we're not going to do it again on second down, an incomplete pass, for whatever reason it tends to be, then you're banking on completing a 3rd and long to score.
Yep.
And that is exactly what I think Nathan's getting at, too, is that if you can run the football effectively with the offensive line being the weapon it has been in previous years, you'll score more points.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a 3rd and 3. It'll be a 2nd and 4. That way you can get 3 chances to score again, because, I mean, honestly, we talked about on like the 2nd drive in this game, Kyle, you texted me and said everything runs so much differently with Christian McCaffrey out there.
Yep.
And you're hoping that that's the difference in the red zone. That's the expectation. 3rd downs in red zone, that's a CMC time to come alive. And that is hoping to be the case in the future. But in this one, first game back, the expectations probably were a little too high, but It was like CMC didn't matter at all in that time of the game. Third downs and red zone, and there were checkdowns here or there to CMC, and you maybe got a first down, whatnot. But when you talk about the difference in games this year, it is the offensive line dominating in the red zone, running the football, and they're not doing that. That is the difference. That's what Nathan's saying. That's what you're saying. It's what I'm saying. It's what everyone's asking. How do they fix? Because that's what's going to help them win bigger games this season.
Yeah. Yeah, just to that point, real quick. I've got their first red zone drive up here. 1st and 10 at Tampa Bay is 11. Christian McCaffrey runs for a yard. Pass, field goal.
Yep.
Because the 2 passes went incomplete. And it felt like that would never be the case in prior years. Or if they were going to throw it, they'd do something a little bit more creative than just a straight dropback game. And that, that feels like what they're relying more on. But this is something that until they fix it, we're going to have to talk about it. But one of our guys, Filmo Mike, said he saw improvement today. Would love to. Filmo Mike, get in here. Bring the vibes up. How we doing, man?
Hey, I've seen improvement. I feel like you got to realize football is the ultimate team sport. You got to get everybody on the same page. I felt like, you feel me, they were moving the ball. They have to improve. It's very disappointing because they're not capitalizing, but I've seen improvement in regards to their overall play. They didn't capitalize, but I feel like they're going to turn it around. I believe in them, and at the end of the day, they haven't been winning the gritty games. And when I say improvement, that's what I mean. They won a gritty game, and every year is different. And this year, they haven't been winning the gritty games. Yeah. Years prior, they won the gritty games. It seemed like everything turned in our favor. This year, they haven't been winning it, and they won the gritty game. So that's when I say they've improved. That's what I mean by they improved. Can it be better? Can it look better? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather it look ugly in a win than it look pretty. I mean, ugly in a win than it look pretty in a loss.
Thanks for the call, Filmo. Yeah, I don't disagree, but I thought almost everything Mike said after the Seattle game, where they went in short week on the road, they smoke a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, but never really trailed, and they got a couple of stops late and scored a late touchdown and put the game away. And it was like, all right, nice. They got a big special teams play in there. They got a really good drive on offense when they needed it. Their defense stepped up. Okay, that there's the Niners. They're coming back. And then they get mollywopped by the Chiefs the next week, and they go cling to a win against the Cowboys in a game that they should have blown them out. Yeah. And then you come back this week, and yeah, it was a gritty win, no doubt. Like, this is not a loss in the loss column. This isn't that. But I need a signature win. Like, I need them to go kind of dominate a game here, especially against an opponent like Tampa Bay that's as beat up as they were going into the game. You had a quarterback playing through an injury that kept him out of practice the first 2 days of the week, and their left tackle got hurt early in the game. And they still couldn't figure out a way to kind of take all the way over. And that's why that I've been waiting for that all year. And it was great to see their defense come up with a stop after all the penalties late and force the game-tying field goal instead of the go-ahead touchdown. That was awesome, no doubt. The offense driving down 43 seconds left, 44 seconds left when they got the ball back. And they drive down and they get in field goal range and they hit the field goal. That's awesome. But big picture, I don't feel any better about the 49ers going into Green Bay, going into Buffalo, taking on Detroit at home, going on the road in a playoff game against anyone. I just don't I don't feel better yet. I'd feel worse had they lost, for sure.
Sure.
But that's a lot worse. Did you see those improvements today? Did you feel better about this one?
No, because the defense did exactly what they should have done coming into the game. You held them to 17 points prior to a last-second field goal to get them to 20. The run defense struggled, which wasn't expected, but okay, there was the game's ebb and flow here or there. They had their run, you had the run. I thought they were going to score 20 points, but I thought San Francisco would score 31 points.
Yep.
So it wouldn't matter, right? Honestly, my biggest concerns of this team, which I hate saying this because it shouldn't be the case, is I don't know if they can score enough points. I think they can keep other teams inside 23, 24 points, which isn't a great number, but for this offense, it should be a winnable game.
Should
at
be
that
plenty.
Point. I don't know if they can score 24 points a game the rest of the season. That's what worries me the most. Going into Buffalo, going into Green Bay, going into Seattle, or I guess it's against Seattle next week at home, but you have the Rams again, you're going into Arizona against the Cardinals, you have Chicago, Miami. You know, those teams inherently aren't great or haven't been, you know, 7-0 or whatever it would be atop their divisions, but there's a real chance, and I get it's a long ways away, but if you put this Niners team, if this trend continues against the Lions, they're going to lose by 30.
Oh.
Like, they're going to get, like, Jared Goff could have 54 yards passing and they'll still lose by 30.
Yep.
Like, terrible special teams. Even if the defense keeps the Lions at bay for a half, do you really believe this Niners offense can score more than 21 points going into the third quarter? I don't think so.
Yeah, you don't feel great about it. And that's the thing, and that's why this is so frustrating. That's why this is a conversation. If we were in, I don't know, Boston right now, talking about the Patriots, the conversation's going to be different, right?
Entirely.
Or Chicago talking about the Bears, or anywhere. This offense has been so good and so prolific as recently as 10 months ago that the fact that we're not going into every game going, oh yeah, they can score 30 today. Like, they can. I'm waiting to see it, though, where, yes, they've scored more than 30 points a handful of times this year. I get it. But I'm waiting for that consistent, like, dominant performance where they just wire-to-wire house somebody.
Yeah.
We saw week one against the Jets. That was nice. But since we've learned about the Jets, it looks a little less nice.
They're losing right now against the Cardinals.
Oh, boy.
It's like,
we need the Jets to win that one, by the way.
Yeah, we do.
Figure it out. But that's where my I guess, trepidation comes in is I don't have any reason to believe that this year's version of the 49ers is capable of doing what you're talking about. Capable of going in and, yes, okay, we know that they're going to score in the range of 30 points. Maybe it's 28, maybe it's 27, maybe it's 35, but they're going to be in that range, and that's going to... I just don't. Like, last year, if you had said the opponent is going to score 23 points, you'd be like, oh, that's W.
That's a win.
You should be able to win that game. This year, opponent scores 23 points, you're like, don't know.
How many field goals did we miss?
Hey, here's we talked about this earlier with Jake Moody missing the three field goals. Obviously, that's going to be one of the things a lot of people talk about this week. Kyle Shanahan was asked about Jake Moody after the game. We said at the top of the show, yeah, hey, people who want Jake Moody out of here, probably not going to see it. Here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say.
I had great confidence all weekend. Confidence is built.
All right, here we go. Here's Kyle Shanahan. I got it. That's my fault. I was doing hand signals and trying to, like, I'm like, you got it? I got it. And then thumbs up, and then we both. Okay, here we go.
I had great confidence all week in him. You know, confidence is built off of how guys look during the week, and he looked great in the week. And he made some field goals today, but, you know, the one he missed was just a little bit left. Looked like the next one he missed was the exact same kick a little bit left. Then it looked like he overcompensated for those misses and missed the exact same way a little bit to the right and fixed that a little bit, and it just went into the right on the last one. So you're only as good as your last kick, so he did a hell of a job winning that game for us at the end.
Thanks to NBC Sports for the audio. Or the 49ers. So you get that from the 49ers. Thanks to the 49ers for that audio.
Did a heck of a job winning the game for us.
That's how you know Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan talked about kicking the way I would talk about kicking. Well, he missed a little bit to the left, and then he missed it a little to the left again, and then he missed a little to the right, and then he changed it and made it a little bit on the right. Cool. Man, I guess this is just it. Like, we can wring our hands over Jake Moody, but he's going to be the Niners kicker. And that's the long and short of it. He would have to miss every kick next game, I think, for this to be a conversation.
I mean, he missed the most kicks since 2019 in a game, so it's not like he's not on his way there right now.
That's like, so tough.
I get it. Yes, Kyle, he bounced back and he clutched up when the team needed him most. But again, and that goes into something, sure, but this is a guy that Brian Schneider told the Niners, I want this man as my kicker. He, and I quote, Jake Moody had the perfect workout. It's really hard to put the name or the word perfect next to an NFL prospect in the draft. Very rare. Every player has flaws, whether they're small or they're large, whatever. Whether it's Mahomes or, it doesn't matter, Josh Allen, they had flaws coming out of college. Jake Moody had the perfect workout to a point we're talking about Jake Moody maybe should not even be rostered next week. Now, I get it, third-round pick and whatnot, but also, Shanahan, he wouldn't have need to make that last kick if he just makes one of the three he missed. Just one of them.
Here's the funny thing about Jake Moody. The thing we heard all about him from Brian Schneider and from Kyle Shanahan. First of all, when Kyle Shanahan made the pick, he like laughed about it. Like he made jokes with the media about it.
Yeah.
He called Jake Moody and he's like, hey, I wanted to draft a running back. Like, cool. This is where we're at?
Should have.
Like, man, what? All we heard about was like, man, he's so clutch and always this and always that. And we put him through all these situations and he's just so clutch. And then every time you go, all right, Moody needs to hit this one. It feels like he's not going to hit it.
Nope.
His first game winner, he missed. He missed a big one in Minnesota the next week. Missed an extra point in the field goal or in the Super Bowl. Missed a couple of big kicks today. It just, I understand the frustration. But it doesn't feel like he's going anywhere. I mean, so buckle up, everybody.
He's missing kicks in meaningful games. Week 18 against the Rams last year. They win that game. It's like, there's no pressure. Just make the kick.
Yep.
And look, it's harder than we're making it sound, but it's like, if guys in grocery stores can do it when they're bagging my broccoli and my cabbage, so Jake Moody should be able to do it pretty easily. Hey, man. we're on the carnivore diet out here. Butter and chicken fat.
All right, we'll have some game balls to give out. We'll also have any of your calls coming up, 888-957-9570 if you want to join the conversation. Sterling Bennett there, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're talking Niners win over the Buccaneers here on 95.7 The Game.
Tavier Thomas, and there it is, the first big break of the game.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Here we are trying to get the vibes up. Hey, here's Jake Cowling's muff punt. That's fine. No Mark Grandy today. Sterling Bennett's here. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until 3 o'clock. Then we'll hand it over to Mark Grandy and Warriors Live as he takes you up to 4 o'clock. The Warriors taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight down in OKC. We'll have all the coverage for you right here on 95.7 The Game. Not great from Jake Cowling, but also a nice little bounce back from the rookie. He had a 31-yard punt return later in the game that helped set up a big 49ers.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Drive. Shout out to Jacob Cowing. Let's see. That was a... Was that not the touchdown? Yeah, that was the touchdown to George Kittle.
Wow, look at that. Yeah. See what happens when you play cohesive football? You score more points.
Look at that.
Who would have thought?
Huh, not me. Yeah, man, that's kind of the... I think that's...
Not Kyle Shanahan.
So, look, here's where I want to kind of take this. 888-957-9570 if you want to, if anybody's got any last minute thoughts on the Niners' victory today. I'm willing to treat today as a, this is the compromise I'm willing to make. I'm willing to treat today as a, okay, Christian McCaffrey just came back. They're figuring stuff out. Ricky Pearsall is getting integrated into the offense. Juwan Jennings been out a couple weeks. Deebo Samuel's dealing with an oblique and a rib injury throughout the week. And this is all just kind of basically a redux of a week one, right? But if that's the case, then that's it. You don't get any more of these. They need to flip the switch and turn it on next week. If there's a switch to flip, it has to happen. Because it's really hard to not look at their first nine games and go, okay, this is just what this team is. They're just a middle-of-the-road team that might make the playoffs, and maybe they scare somebody in the postseason, but that's just kind of the end of it. That's where I land right now.
I don't think I'm willing to make that same compromise. Okay. Now, I hope that's the case. Sure. I think every Niner fan would say, okay, if it means kind of a game-winning field goal, squeaking out the victory today to get better next week against Seattle, beat them, sweep them again this year, win an NFC West game, right? I think we'll all take that. I think everybody would be on board with what you're kind of tossing out to us right now, but I don't know if I can do that after a bye week, right? Like, usually your best performances, hopefully, are week one, because everyone's healthy usually. Fingers crossed everyone's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And while there can be some, okay, it's new year, getting fresh, but as soon as you hit that third and fourth quarter, you should kind of get the oil starts turning, the motor starts running better, and you feel better about yourself. But after a bye week, where you played eight games and you have seen your struggles, you've seen where you're good, where you're bad, what needs to get fixed and whatnot, mm-hmm. I don't think games like this should be accepted from a team like this. Now, one or two games this year, cool.
Sure.
But when it's happened almost every game so far, that's where I'm like, wait a minute. Right. Like, right. I don't know if I can sit back and say, okay, maybe next week anymore.
So here, let me ask you this. Let's assume everything goes exact. Everything else is the same. The only thing we're going to change here today is that Jake Moody drills all three of his field goals, or okay, those three field goals he missed. So let's call that, what is that, 9 extra points? So let's say 32-20 was the final score. Do we feel differently?
I think so. And maybe not a lot. You still have questions of the red zone offense and the offense kind of stalling on drives, and mm-hmm. which has plagued this team as well. But you're also talking about, wow, Jake Moody looked great. You put up 30 points for the first time, feels like forever. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a worry of, wow, this game was close late. You finally closed the game out. The defense held the Bucks to 20 points. Like, you're having there are similarities in, even if it was a 12-point victory, I don't think we're having this harsh conversation of, wow, they got lucky. They're mm-hmm. lucky the Bucks didn't score a touchdown late in that drive.
Yeah.
To end this game. Like, that's luck. Now, the defense played well, but they also gave the Buccaneers about 35 free yards on that drive. Like, sure. Seriously, like, this team got lucky today. They played bad football on key possessions, on key plays, and still won. Now, good teams do that at times. Sometimes it just happens. That's the NFL. The Commanders won on a game-winning Hail Mary. Like, sure. It happens. But I do think the conversation's a little bit different. Not a lot, but a little bit different.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Especially since in the real world, if he makes all those kicks, like, the game just looks different, right? And yeah. It looks probably more like a dominant 49ers win where the Buccaneers are having to drop back and throw, and all of a sudden pass protection becomes
twice.
An issue. Yeah. So that's kind of where I do think, if in the real world, again, I said if everything just went exactly the same, in reality, it doesn't. In reality, if Jake Moody makes the first field goal that he missed, it's 13-3 going into the half. And now the Bucs are down 10. And then if he hits the second one, it's, what does that make it, 16-10? Makes it 16-10? Yeah. And The game looks a lot different, I think, if he hits those field goals. And we're talking about this game significantly differently. But again, third downs continue to be a problem. That one drive, going back to what actually happened in the game, you said, what did you say? How many yards of penalties?
It was like 35. It had to be.
It was 39 yards of penalties.
Oh, my gosh.
They went 58 yards on the drive and gained 19 yards. That's ridiculous.
Jeez.
That's outrageous. So, no, it just that's why I'm willing to go, okay, fine. Let's this team probably is what they are, but okay, fine. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. I'll go, okay, that drive where you give up 39 penalty yards, that's atypical. The drive where, or the three missed field goals in one game, that's pretty atypical. I'm willing to write some of these things off. What I'm not willing to write off, though, and I think this is the point you're making, is like mistakes have just kind of come to define what this team is this year. Whether it's special teams miscues, or whether it's a bad turnover here, or whether it's the inability to get a stop there, or whether it's a field goal instead of a touchdown there. It's just consistently problems with this team that Super Bowl teams don't have. So you go in, if they beat the brakes off Seattle next week, I'll go, okay, that's fine. Then that's okay. But if it's another close game with Seattle next week and it's hard fought and it's, man, they were up but they blew the lead late and they had this special teams mistake, then that just kind of proves to me they are what they are. And this was not just a week one with everybody back. This was just a continuation of what we saw through the first 8 weeks. And it turns out the bye week didn't matter, which could very well be the case.
Since we're playing with reality somewhat here, let's say Jake Moody still misses those three field goals.
Okay.
And they simply don't muff the punt. They don't score points off of it. They just don't muff the punt.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs don't have 7 more points. They have 13. And you win 13-17. How do you feel then?
Yeah.
Like, wow, what a defensive, like, and that's more common for a Niners team in previous years. Wow, 13-17, Bucs defense came to play. They were stopping the run. They were, you know, Purdy wasn't great, but you still won by 4 points. Like, I'd feel better about that than what happened today. Even if Jake Moody makes those three field goals and you won 32 or 29-20, I might feel better about a 14-17 or a 10-17 win, because your defense must have played phenomenal football. And I think for the most part, they did. The Niners team as a whole, mainly on special teams, cost this offense and defense cost them 16 points.
Yep. Yeah.
The Bucs wouldn't even have scored 16 points had special teams came to play.
Yeah.
Like, that's back-breaking stuff on a team that's trying to figure things out still in week number 10 of the NFL season.
Yeah, just to solidify your point here, the Buccaneers' first two drives, 27 yards, 16 yards. Then they go 58 yards and kick a field goal. Then they get 0 yards on their next drive, and that was their drives for the first half. The second half, they go 6 yards and a punt. Then 21 yards to score a touchdown after the muffed punt. 70 yards to score a touchdown on their first drive of the fourth quarter. And then 4 yards, negative 13 yards, 19 yards, aided by 39 yards of penalties. They were good enough to win defensively today, and you're right. If you take out that muffed punt, I have a really hard time believing that they go find the end zone again, because if you take out that muffed punt, they're playing from behind more than they were. And maybe they can't lean on the run game as much. And I think the game just kind of looks different. But we've said that after basically every game this year.
Right.
This play goes different. That play goes different. They need to go dominate a game where, you know what? Hey, that one little mistake didn't wind up mattering that much.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm going to continue to look for. And after 10 weeks, it's hard to feel like, yeah, hey, it's right around the corner. The good version of the Niners is there. Can we talk about Ricky Pearsall real quick? Just to kind of try and, because there were some good things that came out of this game. Juwan Jennings, really good. Brock Purdy, for the most part, save for a couple of throws in the first half, was really good today. George Kittle continues to look like vintage George Kittle. And Ricky Pearsall got his first career touchdown. Here's how it sounded.
Together, here's Purdy. Looking to rip it. Oh, good catch. It goes Pearsall.
Thanks to Kevin Burkhart and Fox Sports for the call. Ricky Pearsall got a little juice.
Yeah, he does.
I didn't know. I did not think he was going to have the speed to run away from the defensive back like that and then drag Antoine Winfield into the end zone for a touchdown. Really, really impressive stuff from Ricky Pearsall in the 46-yard score.
And they're going to need it. Your first-round pick for a reason. You know, you got to step up in a big way over the middle. You have to replace Brandon Ayuk, essentially, right? You know, you don't know how long Jennings and Debo's bodies are going to last this year. They're great players when they're healthy, but they've been banged up a lot this season already and in previous years. Jennings and Debo were on and off the field all day for this team. Yep. You're going to need big plays like that from young players. Now, we're hoping they can get Cowling more involved, and now CMC's back. You're putting less pressure on young players like Pearsall and company, but yeah, what a massive play early in this game.
Yeah,
where okay, you're off the bye week. You know, how is this going to play itself out? And while Purdy was a little shaky, even on that drive, he was shaky. That throw wasn't even great.
a little high.
Like, you know, it's like and Pearsall to have the wherewithal to, you know, beat a guy downfield and use off his 4.3 speed, like. You have playmakers that are unproven, but they are playmakers ready to go. And I think that when you have four catches for 73 yards and a touchdown, probably about 30-ish, 25 yards of yak involved in there, if not more, like that's Niner football. That's what this team needs, and it gives your team a jolt early.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about Ricky Pearsall.
Ricky was awesome. You know, he made the plays he needed to when we went to him. Scoring a touchdown on that, he beat his guy in coverage and then made a great catch and scoring points there. It's huge, not making us have to do anything on the 3-yard 1. I know it was close, but great job getting in and his hands on the last drive. I know he got the out route, which was a big one, but the dagger that he caught was a huge one that got us down there.
Thanks to the 49ers for that audio. That's Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, and Brock Purdy going to him with kind of the game in regulation on the line.
Yeah.
That was big time because it looked like Purdy wasn't necessarily looking for him early in the game or throughout the game.
He kind of disappeared. It was like the one big catch for a touchdown, then it was like radio silence from him the rest of the game until that last drive.
Yeah, he finished with six targets on the day. He had a couple there on that last drive. So yeah, how many do you have? Yeah, he had four targets in the first half. And then two on the last drive. So I'm expecting him to get integrated into the offense more. And through the first, I've been pleasantly surprised by Ricky Pearsall through his first three games, first really two kind of games in week eight where he was more active against the Cowboys and then today. Because I was wondering if, because he missed so much time in camp and then missed the first 6 weeks, of course, after being shot through the chest, that, man, he's just not going to be a factor this year. He just hasn't gotten to practice enough. He's not going to get to practice enough. And that's just going to kind of be what it is. I've been pleasantly surprised by his production the last couple of weeks.
I think it's really impressive to, again, when you're shot through the chest, and it feels like you did have a full off season of practice, and you had a full training camp in the preseason. Like, I hate to say this, but he's been more impactful than Cowling has been all year. And Cowling had all the training camp, and he was supposed to be being a first-round pick, but he's been very really impactful this year in the last couple of games. He had the big end-around against the Dallas Cowboys, albeit Shanahan said it wasn't supposed to go to him, but it ended up going to him anyways. Then the big touchdown today, like, this is who they drafted him to be. 31st overall draft pick, when people were screaming for Cooper DeJean, which he's looked phenomenal for the Eagles this year, or a right tackle or whatnot, and they go receiver, everyone says, oh, we don't need one of those. And it's like, well, now you do. Now you're thankful you have him. And while you wish it was different and he was the fourth guy instead of the second or third guy, Pearsall has been playing like a first-round pick, at least today. Touchdown, four catches, 70-plus yards, second on the entire team in receiving yards. So, like, that's impressive stuff from a young player, technically kind of in game two and a half so far.
Yeah, man, I didn't think he would contribute really at all. And the fact that he has, and he's making tough catches, he's running away from defenders, really, really good stuff from Ricky Pearsall so far. You want to give out a couple of game balls before we hand this off to Mark Grandy? We'll start with you, and let's start on the offensive side where the 49ers went at 6.8 yards per play today. They outgained the Buccaneers 413 to 215. Tampa Bay averages 3.7 yards per play, 6.8 for the Niners. Who gets your offensive game ball for the 49ers?
I think I'm going to go with their leading receiver on the day. I know he didn't get in the end zone, but Juwan Jennings.
Man.
When this offense doesn't have him out there, you feel it. And usually you don't say that about your third receiver on the roster. He is so clutch on third downs, and it seems like he is Brock Purdy's favorite target so far this year through 10 weeks. I know he's missed some time here or there, but 7 catches today, 93 yards. It felt like he was pivotal on every single scoring drive they had to make big plays. Again, I know there's the hip injuries dealing with and whatnot, but this team needs Juwan Jennings out there. He gives them physicality, not just at the line of scrimmage, but he gives them it in man coverage against zone coverage, which is not what Deebo Samuel gives you right now. He does things that nobody else on your roster, maybe outside of George Kittle, is doing for you, which is being clutch and consistent. Juwan Jennings is Mr. Clutch and Consistent. No longer third in Juwan. He is now seemingly your best receiver so far this year.
Yeah, he has been. And has eliminated all doubts about whether he could step in and be a wide receiver too.
Yeah.
And can he be like an X receiver? And that's kind of what he's done filling in for Brandon Ayuk. I've been blown away by Juwan Jennings. I knew he could produce more than he had the last couple of years.
Sure.
But what he's done, where he's at, he's over 500 receiving yards now through 10. Like, man,
that's crazy.
Ridiculous. He's going to have more yards this year than he had in his 3 years combined. His previous three years combined. So the Niners got him on a really, really nice contract. He'll be with the team through next year. Just good work by the front office and good work by Brock Purdy to find him today. And the thing I love about Jennings is very underrated, like after the catch. He's really hard to tackle. Just a good guy to have.
You can argue today the extra yards he picked up late in that last drive was the reason why they got the field goal to win the game at all.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
He's a game-changing player for them, which he may be the slowest guy out there and kind of the more clunky guy, but he gets the job done all the time for him.
Yeah, yeah. Juwan Jennings, heck of a player. Definitely earned that game ball today. I'm going to go with George Kittle for my offensive game ball.
There you go.
4 targets, 3 catches, 57 yards. He did score a touchdown. Here's why George Kittle gets my game ball, despite the fact that he did not have a monster day. Brock Purdy, obviously, a hugely productive day. Christian McCaffrey comes back, has a really productive day. But this used to be Deebo Samuel, but it's now George Kittle. When the 49ers need some kind of catalyst or spark on offense, they hit George Kittle now. They designed something for George Kittle. Today, it was that little flow play they do. They fake the stretch run to the right. Purdy boots back out to the left, and he just hits George Kittle, and it's George Kittle run after catch. And today, it was vintage George Kittle. And in Week 8, we saw that same player. When the 49ers really needed their offense to get rolling, they lean on George Kittle. I thought they did the same thing again today. Purdy in trouble down there in the red zone. No one to find. No one open. He rolls out left, directs traffic with George Kittle, and Kittle makes a really nice little toe tap in the back corner of the end zone for a touchdown. I can't say enough good things about the now 31-year-old George Kittle, who looks like he's hitting a second prime here.
He's continues to be this team's best offensive player. Juwan's great and whatnot, and even Juwan arguably saved the game today, recovering that fumble from Brock Purdy as well. But Kittle just, whether it's a touchdown in the red zone, he is just the league's best tight end this year. A lot of talk of, you know, what's his future look like in San Francisco. He looks like he hasn't missed a step this year. He looks awesome. He's healthy. And he is Brock Purdy's go-to guy in the red zone. And you need that. Big body tight ends, that's what creates the difference in the red zone. And George Kittle continues to be that for San Francisco.
He had the 2020 season where he only played 8 games. He goes 634 yards, 2 touchdowns, then 910 and 6 touchdowns, 910 yards and 6 touchdowns, but then 765 and 11 touchdowns. And I thought, okay, this is what he's going to kind of be. He's going to be in the 500-600 yard range, and he might just be a touchdown merchant now. But then he follows it up with 1,020 last year with 6 touchdowns, and this year he's on pace for more than 1,000 yards, and he's already at 7 touchdowns on the season. Just an incredible, incredible player. Who gets your defensive game ball for the 49ers?
I have gone back and forth on this all day, or at least in the last 15 minutes since we've been talking about it. I think I'm going to give it to Renardo Green.
Oh, you sure?
There is the one play, I think it was third down, maybe it was earlier than that, but Baker Mayfield gets out of pressure, and he makes this like 360, this quick pivot, throw to the end zone, and Green just makes up for a misstep, puts his hands in the air, maybe got there a little too early, but undoubtedly saved the touchdown for the Buccaneers, and that's a rookie second-round pick making big plays and having the wherewithal to have makeup speed in a game where you don't have Tre'Davious Ward, you're relying on Isaac Yiadom out there, which he was fine today too, but just he had two pass defenses, he had five tackles, he was pretty good against the run today, but arguably a game-saving touchdown play. For a young player that you got to have step up, and you don't want to look too far in the future, but Mooney Ward may not be here next year, and in a day where I know it's tragic for him losing his daughter and hope they can find some solace in that, Green stepped up in a big way and looks like a star on defense for this team.
I'm so happy you brought that play up, because one of the things that kept plaguing Ambry Thomas was when he got beat, he would panic.
Yeah,
and that's something that cornerbacks do a lot, is oh my gosh, I got to get back, I got beat on this play. But Green having the wherewithal after getting beat to just get back into the play and get a hand up, get his head around, and knock the ball away, super impressive. I'm so happy you brought that play up. That's a great game ball. For me, it's Diamador Lenore. He's just constantly in the mix. He had a sick run stop today. He's playing great defense, whether he's outside or in the slot. He's playing great in coverage. And there were half a dozen plays today, I remember him sticking his nose in against the run. There just aren't that many better slot corners right now in the league than Diamador Lenore. So I want to make sure he gets his flowers today. 7 tackles for the 49ers slot corner today.
He is this team's best cornerback. Honestly, I think he's on his way to an all-pro season. He's been that good this year. And sure, he gets some help from some guys getting banged up and whatnot, but Lenore has just continued to be. And also, he talks so much trash, and he can back it up.
Does he?
Guys do that, and they can't back it up. Lenore has his nose in every single play. He's stuffing some runs. He's making tackles. He's getting turnovers, getting takeaways, and also stopping receivers from even sniffing the football.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought today the Niners ran, Tom Brady pointed this out, they're running a ton of zone, which I thought was kind of weird considering the Buccaneers receiving core. It's like, man, sure. Just let your dudes line up in man and go against these various wide receivers of the Buccaneers. Jarrett
Sterling
and
Shepard.
Sterling Shepard, and is it Trey Palmer? Is that his name?
Jalen McMillan was out there today.
Was he?
I think.
No, Jalen McMillan did not play today. He has
couldn't tell, he didn't catch anything.
Yeah, thanks in part to Diamador Lenore, who gets our defensive game ball. All right, quick update for you as we get ready to hand it off to Mark Grandy and Warriors Live. Quick look around the scoreboard. Where are we at? The Eagles are up 14-6 on the Dallas Cowboys at the half. That's good news for the 49ers, I think. I think you want to get the Cowboys as clear of a wild card spot as possible. The Chargers up on the Tennessee Titans 13-10. And the Arizona Cardinals, much to the chagrin of 49ers fans everywhere, are up 24-6 on the New York Football Jets.
That's gross.
So it looks like the 49ers will be in second place going into tonight. Or into tomorrow night, where the LA Rams will host the Miami Dolphins. Rooting hard for the Dolphins in that one as the 49ers try and climb up the NFC West standings and maybe gain a little bit of separation from the cluster there in the division. But maybe the Jets make a comeback in the second half.
Not counting on it.
Me neither. Sterling, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate you, as always. We will be back next week with Overtime after the 49ers take on the Seattle Seahawks in another massive NFC West game that the 49ers need to win. And we'll nitpick that one as well, whether they win or lose. Sterling and I will be here with Mark Grandy as well. Sterling, thanks so much, man.
Yes, sir. It's always fun.
All right. Warriors Live coming up next with Mark Grandy. The Golden State Warriors in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. Can they wrap up this road trip with a victory? We will find out. It's Mark Grandy getting you ready right here. Sterling Bennett, thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys back behind the glass as well. I'm Kyle Madsen. This has been Overtime. We've been on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.